Welcome to The Enlightened Leader, the place where we discuss the future of leadership today. This is your host, Paul Marks. Now, today's guest is Sharin Chawla. Sharin is the Thailand country manager for Taboola. Taboola is the world's leading discovery platform that helps people explore what's interesting and new. So, Sharin, welcome to the Enlightened Leader podcast.
Thank you, Paul. Happy to be here and thank you for having me.
I really appreciate you taking the time. Now, for our listeners today, I think it would be really good, Sharin, if you could just give us a bit of background on Taboola, what's happening at Taboola, and also what can you tell us about the future as well?
Sure thing, Paul. First of all, you know, what is Taboola? Taboola is the native advertising space, or what we like to call discovery platform on the open web, that is powered by advanced AI algorithm. Our mission is to enable users to discovery, right? Which has been discover new content, new product, services that they may like or may have never seen before. What Taboola is used for is used by digital properties, for example, websites, devices, apps, for monetization and engagement purposes. So basically, we power recommendations, and by recommendations, I mean ads or publisher content that gets displayed to the readers based on their interest or their online behavior.
So it's actually done, you know, through artificial intelligence, and you're sort of directing content towards people that really fits their interests, right?
That's correct, Paul. And, you know, Taboola recommends a lot of different things, right? We reach 1.4 billion people monthly, as you can imagine the size of our scale. And we are working exclusively with partners around the globe for the likes of BBC, CNBC, Business Insider, Bloomberg, The Tiger, and so on and so forth. I'm sure, Paul, you might have seen our recommendations before as well.
Yes, I have. And I didn't realize just how much content you were putting out there, actually. That's absolutely huge. Yeah, wow. And where do you see the sort of the future of this type of advertising and reaching out to people? I mean, where is it going, Sharin?
That's a very good question, Paul. You know, the advertising space is huge, right? Online advertising on the open web is estimated to be $60 billion in spends per year. So the opportunity here is immense for platforms, for publishers, as well as for advertisers. Good news is that Taboola has just gone public. We went public this year in June, and we became the first native advertising company to be listed on NASDAQ. This has been an exciting moment for all of us. The future for Taboola is very bright, and I could say that the future is also going into e-commerce space. Recently, Taboola has acquired a company called Connexity, which is one of the largest e-commerce media platforms on the open web. And we are heading there. That's the biggest space that we want to be in.
Wow. So there's a lot of exciting stuff going on right now. One of the things I'm really interested in, Sharin, and again, a lot of the listeners, obviously around leadership and the future of leadership. And one of the key things that I think is really important for leaders and for organizations to be successful in the decade ahead is to be very customer centric. And I kind of feel from what you've shared with me and from what I've researched about Taboola before we did the podcast is that Taboola actually is a very customer centric organization. So my question or questions to you really is, what does it mean to be a customer-centric organization? And what does it mean to be a customer-centric leader?
That's a very good topic for discussion, Paul. You know, I've been in the service industry throughout my career and have always been customer-facing. So this topic is something that, you know, hits home. In terms of being customer-centric is definitely going beyond, you know, the regular conducting meetings with customers, performing customer survey, or taking them out for fancy lunch or dinner, right? It's more than that. Customer-centric organization to me means putting customer first and at the heart of the entire operation. Easier said than done for sure. what organizations needs to do is to look beyond products and services that they offer and the focus should be completely on what the client needs. This means, you know, building relationship with them, understanding customer pain points and providing the right solution. Yes, you know, in terms of addressing what customer needs, you know, it takes a lot of efforts to be able to understand exactly what they want and what their pain points are. Therefore, you know, I feel that personalization of products and services to truly match what their business goals are is also crucial. Actually, you know, we can no longer expect a one size fit all in today's world. Customer business operations are very, very diverse, and organizations that understand that are the ones that will thrive. Even at Taboola, for example, you know, personalization is the core of our business. Every site, every recommendation is personalized based on the interests of the readers, thanks to our powerful AI. You can also see that other companies like Netflix, you know, Spotify, Amazon are offering high level of personalization, which helps deliver unique customer experience. And this is why I believe personalization is very, very important and is a heart of the customer-centric organization as well.
Yeah, I really like that. You're right. You know, I think Netflix is definitely one that I relate to because it's something that I like to watch, obviously. And it's so true. It's very customized to my specific preferences. And I think that for businesses and organizations to be successful moving into the future, this personalization is key. But how do you get people into that mindset? Because there is a mindset shift. I think that, all right, it's not something new, but, you know, for years we've been selling products and services, and now all of a sudden we're customizing, we're personalizing. And I think it takes a different mindset. What are your thoughts around that?
That's interesting, Paul. You know, a lot of times changing people's mindset is not easy, right? It has to start by, first of all, understanding consumer first, how they behave, how they react to a certain message. If you were to receive an email today that didn't address your name, the chances are you won't feel like that brand is talking to you, right? Very similar, you know, consumers likes to be heard, likes to be interacting with products that understands them. For example, you know, what Netflix does is really, really cool. They are actually asking you what kind of shows you like before you get started with the account so that they can personalize all the kind of movies or series that you like, right? In order for customers to, you know, thrive in business these days, we have to be able to deliver unique customer experience. And changing mindset takes a lot of time, but business needs to understand that is key in terms of, you know, getting customers on board. I also truly believe that in order to address customer needs, you know, you have to be very transparent as well. Transparency is key. You know, how you use their data, are you, you know, obtaining their data, making sure that, you know, everything is, you know, working against, not working against, you know, the different kind of GDPR, privacy content. You know, you have to make sure that all those things are intact.
It is very, very important because I think, like you said, I think that's something that people value as well. They want everything personalized, but at the same time, they want confidentiality as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's a fine balance that companies need to manage. And if they don't manage it well, you know, you can risk losing that customer because you have their sensitive information. I think in terms of being a customer-centric organization, transparency is key. Transparency to me means, you know, ensuring that your recommendation or consultations to your customer are true to what their business needs. Being transparent could mean letting your customers know if and when your solution is not suitable for them. I know it sounds very counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
The idea is not to force the sale, which happens quite a lot in the real world.
Yeah.
You know, being transparent means that if the solution does not work or does not fit, we should let the customer know honestly. Being completely open and not wasting their time is very important here.
So, and it goes back to what we were talking about before about selling products and services. I would say a very traditional approach would have been like, we just want to sell our product or service. And sometimes salespeople fall into the trap of sometimes over-promising or maybe not selling the right solution that fits the customer's specific needs. And what you're saying here is that as a customer-centric organization, we've got to be transparent. We've got to be open. We've got to be authentic about the solutions that we're offering.
Absolutely, Paul. You know, as a business, it should be a top priority to win the trust of your customers. And if you are transparent, they will know and they'll notice that. I believe that building this kind of trust, you know, helps promote long-term customer relationships. And, you know, you can definitely move away from being a one-time vendor or one-time sales if you really focus on this part of transparency, which will lead into a sustainable relationship and ensure that your company can have repeated business from those customers as well.
And it really does come down to some basic emotions here of trust. I mean, I think that's where we missed it before in the past. I think a lot of times I think today there's a much more emphasis and recognition that if you want to keep customers, you know, it's not about quick sales. It's about building trust and promising on, you know, or delivering rather on what you promise. I think it's so, so true.
Very true.
So moving, you know, if let's say, for example, somebody wanted to join Taboola, and this is a question that I always like to ask people that come on, because I think it helps our listeners sort of understand, you know, some of those traits and attributes that big organizations like yours are looking for in people, in talent. What do you look for in future leaders or, you know, future employees? If somebody wanted to join Taboola, what kind of traits and attributes do you look for?
Yes, Paul. I think, you know, in terms of today or even in the future, I believe an important skill for leaders to have or develop is digital skills. You know, we are living in a digital era with a lot of digital disruption. And if you notice, the pandemic has definitely played a part of speeding up the need for digitalization as well.
Yeah.
Our life has dramatically changed in the last 2 years. But, you know, thanks to all the platforms like Zoom, Google, Microsoft, you know, we are able to work at home effectively and ensure business continuity. So, you know, let me expand a little bit on the digital skills that I mentioned.
Please do. Yeah.
Digital skill here does not only mean that, you know, someone who understands how to use the tool, you know, how to use different kinds of analytics. It's all about how do they actually use the data, right? Making sure that that leader understands technology and is able to translate that into a business strategy. So someone who would want to join Taboola, and if I'm on the interview panel, I would definitely dig into their digital knowledge because this is something that is very important. You know, leaders of the future will play a unique role in terms of being digital strategist, innovator, and also a driver. He or she should be able to navigate in a very fast-paced digital world. Someone who is extremely agile, you know, who can definitely pivot with the market changes or the digital disruption, as mentioned before.
You know, I see digital skills as being one of the biggest challenges, I think, for a lot of people. Maybe I'm talking about my own generation here. I think younger generations are it's much more natural for them to adopt, I guess, these digital skills. But at the same time, I think that a lot of leaders today sort of struggle with, number one, knowing the kind of digital skills they need to know in order to run their business. I think that's big. And then number two, which is a really valid point that you mentioned, is look, once we've got all this data, it's great, right? We have all this information, but we need to be able to analyze it. I mean, there's good data, there's bad data, but we need the skills to be able to make good data-driven decisions.
Absolutely. You know, I like to say this a lot with people in my team, that there is no longer business strategy and technology strategy. It's just strategy and technology driving it.
Yes, yes. And that's a big shift, I think. And I think, you know, moving forward, you mentioned about the disruption. I can see that this is not going away. That's obvious. And, you know, I think businesses have become more and more disruptive. But how do you, on a personal level, how do you sort of manage that as a country manager? Because, you know, I'm sure you've got a lot of these attributes already, but how do you manage the challenges, if you like, at a personal level?
Yeah, disruption is hitting all of us every single day, you know, every single year. There's something else that's around the corner. So I think keeping up with the change, being adaptive, is highly important. Making sure that you are abreast of all the developments that's happening around you. You know, someone might not have a good skill set around technology, but, you know, they can definitely try to read more around it, or, you know, work on that skill by, you know, speaking to people who are very good at that skill set. For example, you know, I like to read a lot, and that's how I keep on adding my new skill sets. As you know, in today's world, a lot of people are trying to get into machine learning, for example, or how to be better at SQL. You know, all these things are going to add up in your career, right? You have to possess some kind of niche skills that are hard to come by to make yourself stand out. So I think, you know, Paul, it's all about leveling up every year, you know, add on some new skills, and that's how you actually thrive in a digital world.
It's like being a lifelong learner, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, I used to think when I was at school, going back a few years now, you know, there were certain professions that I guess you were expected to keep up with, you know, the new things happening. You know, if you're a doctor, an engineer, or something like that, you know, you'd always be, I guess, involved in development. But in recent years, it seems like pretty much every industry and every profession requires people to do the same now, because what worked yesterday won't necessarily work today or tomorrow, and we need to be prepared. And the only way we can do that is to keep learning.
Absolutely, Paul. I definitely think that, you know, when we stop learning, we stop growing. And as leaders, you know, you have to always keep up with the changes around you. And I think that's one of the difficult things that, you know, impacts business as well. You know, with the technological advancements, you know, sometimes you're using something that's outdated. Efficiency can be heavily improved if you are, you know, aware about the changes that's happening around you.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, Shireen, look, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you today. And again, I've got some real takeaways from this, I think. You certainly gave us some real insights into being a very customer-centric organization. And I really like the idea of the key word I think you used was gaining or building trust, and really understanding the needs, the emotional needs, the practical needs of customers. I think that was important. Also, you touched on, you know, for me, the big one was as a leader, we've got to be ready to embrace the changes and to keep upgrading and constantly learn, because otherwise we get left behind. And I think that's a realization that a lot of us have to come to terms with. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Paul, for the opportunity.